Genesis chapter number 4. Appreciate Matthew. He's a blessing. And appreciate him, his family. And Matthew loves to serve. He's a good young man. He's just a blessing to me, and I appreciate him. So, Genesis chapter number 4. I preached a message out of this passage of Scripture at the nursing home on Tuesday evening, and the Lord keeps directing me back to it this morning, and I just want to share some thoughts here in Genesis chapter number 4, and we're going to read the first few verses of this chapter and talk about, of course, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I think most everyone will be familiar with every character involved here. Adam and Eve, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, we read their story, how God created them. They were created in the image of God. And that's important. It's important to understand. And they were created in God's image, and they were given a choice. And God, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose. Eve was beguiled by Satan. Adam chose to receive that, and by doing so, sin entered into the world. Just as the Lord promised when he spoke to Adam, by that sin came death. And but praise the Lord, there in the Garden of Eden, a plan was shared of salvation, and how that Christ Jesus will one day come, a sacrifice would be made. Well, Adam and Eve, they had children, as the Lord commanded them, and we read of Cain and Abel in this passage of Scripture. And let's read a little bit about their story here in Genesis chapter number 4. If you're able to stand, can we stand as we read the Scriptures? If you're not able, the Lord understands that. Please understand that. Genesis chapter number 4, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now thou art cursed from the earth, that opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'd open your word up to us this morning. May the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, enlighten us today to the word of God. We would see and know, Lord, more about you and your plan of salvation. I pray today that, Lord, you put a hedge about this place. And God, please, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Today they would choose to put their faith in you. Father, I pray for each and every one. I pray for our young people in here today that they would listen closely, please, to this important message. Lord, there's not a more important thing that will be shared than, Lord, your word today in your churches. And I pray that we'd heed it and follow it. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. So Adam and Eve here, we read about their two sons, Cain and Abel. And we see that they're a great picture and a teaching a very important lesson about salvation. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is this, that Cain offered the fruit of his hands. Cain offered the fruit of his hands. We see there in verse number 2 that Abel was born, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. We don't have any issue there whatsoever. That's great. That's the vocation. That's what they focused on. Nothing wrong. That's wonderful. The problem is this, that when it came time to offering up to God and a testimony of their faith, Abel did what he was supposed to do, but Cain did not. You see, back in the garden, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, we know that God took an innocent sacrifice, probably a lamb. That lamb was sacrificed, did nothing wrong, but that animal was sacrificed, and when it was, its blood was shed. They were covered in the skins of this animal, but that is not, you know, a work that, you know, they didn't have to repeat that process in order to be saved. They had to believe what Jesus or God had taught them there in the garden. That one day, God's own Son, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, would come and He would offer Himself up, an innocent, pure sacrifice for all of our sins. Adam and Eve believed that. They had faith in that. So, they taught their children this. We know that because, and we'll read it in a little bit, that Hebrews chapter number 11 says that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. He believed. He believed that one day Jesus would come. Now the only difference between their salvation and ours is they believe that one day Jesus would come and die for the sins of the world. We know that Jesus has come. But we believe the same thing, focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice. When it came time for the sacrifice, Abel brought that little lamb, which was a symbol of what Jesus would do. And they believed this. And Abel took that little lamb, the firstling of his flock there, and its blood was shed, it was placed upon the altar, and a sacrifice was given. Cain had an issue with this. Cain kind of thought that was all unnecessary. Cain thought he had a better idea. So Cain offered the fruit of his hands. He brought, and I don't know exactly what he grew. I mean, the Bible doesn't say there, it just says he was a tiller of the ground. And it says there that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Now, I don't know exactly what he brought. You know, but I know this, it was his best. I know this, that, you know, if you grew what I would like, he had the best, biggest cucumber out of the entire garden. I can't wait till springtime. I miss homegrown cucumbers, man. Not the waxy things you buy at the store, right? Yes, all right? The ones that can still scratch you when you hold it in your hand. That is a good cucumber, right? But I guarantee he brought the best he had, the best tomato. If it was flowers, he brought the best he had. I don't know what exactly he grew, but whatever it was the biggest, it was the best. And when he laid it upon that sacrifice, he just knew that the Lord would be impressed by this. But there was an issue. God rejected that. Cain got upset at it. He got mad. He got mad that God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. Now, humanly speaking, looking at what Cain was doing, it was a respectable thing. I mean, it was something he didn't hold out, I don't believe. I believe he brought, it says there, the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. He brought something that he thought was worthy of God. He, I'm sure, searched through everything that he was growing and found, and I mean, it took, now listen to me, it took a lot of work. I mean, these things just didn't happen. Because part of the curse of sin is by the sweat of the brow, man would be able to grow these things. There would be thorns and thistles, and it would not be easy like it was in that garden that God planted. So Cain had put some effort in this. He had worked hard. He had sweat over this. He had bled over this. I mean, he had given, strength and hours and weeks and months in order to get these things that he was going to present to God. I'm sure he put a lot of careful thought into what he was doing. I'm sure he thought this through. He compared everything side by side and said, "Now this is the best that I've got." It was respectable. It was even, I threw another word in there, it's even reasonable. Humanly speaking, I'm sure Cain thought, surely God will accept this. Look what all I've done. He had put a whole lot more work into it than Abel did. He had sweat over this. He had given everything that he had, and he was pouring out everything he had into this. He worked harder. He took longer. He did it his way and thought, surely it just makes sense. God will accept this. But while it was respectable and reasonable, we note in the Word of God that it was rejected. When he offered that, and again, the Scripture is kind of silent exactly what happened. I don't know if God spoke it. I don't know how he knew. But Cain found out very quickly as he placed whatever it was, the best that he had done. I mean, he had so many hours, so much sweat, so much. I mean, he had put everything he had in this, and he laid it up there, and I'm sure he sat there and waited for God's acceptance. And in whatever way he did, God said, "No." What do you mean, no? I mean, Cain, without a doubt, no. But I poured myself into this. It's the best that I've got. I worked. I sweat over this. I bled over this. I mean, I got blisters over this. I took time to make sure that it was the best that I had. God said, no. No, why not? Because that sacrifice was not a means of salvation. And by the way, neither was Abel's. That sacrifice was just a testimony. It was just an expression of their faith. And the only way to heaven, from Genesis to Revelation to 2020, the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. But Cain brought the best that he had. God said no. So why would you point, that's a kid's lesson. Because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of adults, there's a lot of people sitting in good churches today that are sitting there thinking that they've lived a respectable life. They're thinking, just like Cain, "I've worked hard for this." They're thinking of all the things that they have done, they've not, and the way that we, a lot of times justify ourselves is we compare ourselves to other people. And all of us can find someone that we act better than. I mean, everybody can, right? I mean, there's always somebody worse than you, right? I hope, right? Yeah, right? I mean, there's always, I don't care who you are, you can find somebody. I remember growing up, my parents, they always push good grades, right? And I usually got one of the highest grades in the class, but when I became, my 11th grade year, there was this other girl in the class, her name was Tammy Tallman. She was so smart. It drove me crazy, right? I mean, she would always, if I got a 99, she got 100, right? And I would go home and I would say, "What'd you get on the test?" "I got a 97. And their first question would be, "What'd Tammy get?" Who cares what Tammy got, right? I'll say, "Well, everybody else got like in the 80s, right? I mean, I'm better than they are." And they did it right. They're saying, they always look at me and they'd say, "Did you do your best?" I did better than them, right? "Did you do your best?" And they pushed me to always do my best. And they didn't care if I, ended up beating Tammy or not. They just wanted me to do my best. the record. We tied. All right, yeah. We both got valedictorian. It still kind of burns me up. All right, but anyways, all right. But the fact is this, right? They, you know, we always compare ourselves to other people. And if we want to, there's always somebody who's, oh, at least I've not done that, right? At least I haven't been that wicked. I've never done this, and they have. I've never gone to that depth. I've never... We love to justify ourselves by looking at other people. That's not the standard of salvation. The standard of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. His holiness. So none of us can do that. You're exactly right. None of us can. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came and He paid for our sins. And us going to heaven is by us putting our faith and saying, yes, I believe that I am a sinner, but that Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross that Matthew sang about this morning. His blood was shed on that cross. And I believe that Jesus died. He paid the penalty for my sins. And when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross, we too can have salvation. But there's a lot of people sitting in churches today saying, yeah, but surely God will let me in. Look at what all I've done. Look at what all I've given. Look at what all I served. I fed the poor. I did this. I put money in an offering plate. And we're always thinking of things, and people are sitting here saying, trying to justify themselves, saying, look what I have done. And I'm sure they've lived a respectable life, and it's reasonable thinking, humanly speaking. I mean, there is a man that I can tell you about, a factual person, who is a thief, who is a robber, who is facing the death penalty for his life. And he today is in heaven. You know how many good things that he did? Nothing. He was hanging on a cross, dying for his crimes and sins, and he was worthy of death. It wasn't just my opinion of it. He said it. He said, we deserve this. I have lived such a life, I deserve to pay in this way my life. He was a wicked man. But he looked that day over to his right there as the Lord Jesus was hanging on that cross, and he expressed his faith that he is the Son of God and that he was dying for the sins of the world. And the Lord looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And right now, he is with the Lord in heaven right now. Say, what good things did he do? Nothing. Because it's not the works we do. It's believing in who died for our sins. But Cain was sitting there and he did his best and he gave his best that he had. But God said, no. And there'll be many people, unfortunately, there'll be many people who will one day stand before God and say, but I fed the poor. I donated to these causes. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob a bank. I lived a clean life. But if your faith is in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. And you know what happens when a lot of people hear that? There's people sitting in so many false preaching churches today that are patting them on the back, say, well, if you just dip yourselves under the water or get some water poured on your head, you're going to be all right. That will not save you. There's a lot of people standing up saying, well, if you all act right and you do right and you live better than the other person, you might make it. What a terrible religion is that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people sitting in good churches that have a little pride in their heart that they sit there and say, I'm good enough. Or you're trying to get in on your parents' coattails or on your grandparents' coattails. Doesn't work that way. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. And God went to Cain and said, no. God rejected that. So Abel tried the fruit of his hands. But now listen, I'm sorry, Cain did. But Abel, he was different. The reason why Abel is in heaven today is because Abel did not bring the fruit of his hands, but Abel brought the faith that was in his heart. He showed the faith that was in his heart. And I wrote these things about his sacrifice. That number one, it was appropriate. His sacrifice was appropriate because that is what God had shown them as a pattern. It showed his faith. It was appropriate in this that an innocent animal was slain and its blood was shed. This is something that the Jews continued to do for centuries because it was an expression, it should have been, of their faith and what they believed in. You'll notice as the nation of Israel got backslidden, they always pushed these sacrifices away and went towards false idols and things like that. But when revival would take place and people would get right, they reinstitute this because it was a symbol of their faith. They were expressing their faith. And say, what is that? That little lamb, what did it do wrong? Nothing. It was pure. It was innocent. You'll notice there that Abel brought, when he did, in verse number 4, the firstlings of his flock. He brought the best he had. He brought that firstborn lamb. He brought it and it was sacrificed because it was a symbol of the only begotten Son of God. Pure, innocent, without blemish, that would die for our sins. It was appropriate. I wrote down number 2. It was accepted. God accepted that sacrifice. It was accepted because it showed his faith. I wrote down number 3, that it attested to something. Turn over real quick to Hebrews. Now keep something there in Genesis as we'll come back. But turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11, because I do want you to see this real quick. Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11, look with me real quick in verse number 4. Abel's talked about here in Hebrews chapter number 11. It attested to something. In Hebrews chapter number 11, it says this, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. You notice there that it attested to something. The Bible does not say that Abel was made righteous because of this sacrifice. This sacrifice gave witness that he was righteous. There's a big difference there. If you believe that Abel went to heaven because he made the sacrifice, he has the same issue Cain had. But this sacrifice just testified or gave witness of the fact of what Abel's faith was in. When Abel made that sacrifice, all he was doing is saying, I believe that one day the Lamb of God will die for my sins. And every time that he made that sacrifice, it gave witness that Abel was a righteous man. That his faith was where it should be. I wrote down one more word underneath this Abel sacrifice is this. It abides today. I mean, you see how that verse ends. How's that verse end there? Verse Lee right there? Hebrews 11:4. Turn your Bible. He went back to Genesis. Yeah, verse number 4. Yes, sir, please. You hear that? And by it he being dead yet speaketh. So what's that verse mean? Exactly what we're doing today. Abel's been dead for thousands of years, but his testimony is still crying out today. His example is still for us today. That salvation is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if you're trying the fruit of your hands to go to heaven, and what you're doing, you may be putting the best you've got forward, God will reject that one day, because that's not the plan of salvation. Abel brought faith in his heart. That is the way of salvation. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's faith. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now go back to Genesis chapter 4 and let's wrap this up. I want you to see something as we close this. Cain offered the fruit of his hands. Respectable and is reasonable, but it was rejected. Abel brought the faith in his heart. It was appropriate and it was accepted. And it attested that he was a righteous man and abides still today. But I want you to see one last thing. God offered forgiveness in his hands. You see, even after Cain did wrong, after Cain rejected God's way and did it his own way, even after that, look what happens. Cain is mad. Verse number 5, Cain is wroth. His countenance, it fell. In other words, Cain's anger was stirred. He got very angry that his way wasn't accepted by God. His appearance became sad. You could just look at him and know something was wrong. His attitude becomes sour. It says in verse number 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? I got good news for you today. Everybody look at me. You today have been rejecting God's way of just faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been trying to earn salvation on your own, you've been trying to be a good person and surely justify that God will accept you. I got great news for you. Ready? God didn't give up on you yet either. Even after Cain did it his own way, got mad about it, sad and depressed about it, the Lord still reached out to him. If you're here today and you're listening to this message, and you know today you've never had a time in your life when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's reaching out to you today too. He wants you today. God went to Cain. He said, why are you upset? Why are you so sad? And then he gives him, look what it says there, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. You know what he said to Cain? You know what's right. You know the truth. And you know that all you have to do is have faith in me. Because when Cain did the works of his hand, you know where Cain's faith was? In himself. On him doing it good enough. On him, you know, bringing the best and achieving it. The Lord said, that's not it. And you know better. And the Lord reached out to him. I can't even begin to tell you how many sermons I heard in my life before I got saved. But I'm glad that Lord God did not give up on me either. God reached out his hand to Cain. Fortunately, Cain said no. He gets an attitude with God. God again offers him this salvation. But Cain gets an attitude. He's so angry, he goes out, and I'm sure his brother sees the anger in Cain's eyes, and he's upset, his countenance is different. And then they would take a walk together. Cain gets so mad at his brother that he kills him. He strikes him. The Bible says he rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. Abel falls to the ground. The first human death recorded. His blood spills upon the earth. Cain walks away. God again reaches out to Cain. God comes to Cain. Says, "Where's Abel?" Did God know where Abel was? Of course he did. Anytime God ever asks a question, he's not looking for information. He's trying to get you to see something. "Where's Abel, your brother?" His attitude's shown. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper? Not my job to watch him, God." God says, "What have you done? What have you done? You know you sit here, you hear the truth, you know God's plan of salvation, you choose to reject it and still to count on yourself. There'll come a day you'll stand before God and say, 'What have I done?'" Cain gets mad. Cain gets angry. His rejection of God. Now listen to me. His rejection, when God reached out to him again, he rejected it, and it led to him indulging in a terrible sin. Humanly speaking, it doesn't get much worse than murder. That's what Cain did. A heart that says no to God will become hurt and bitter, angry, and will lead itself to great destruction. God reaches out to Cain again. God tries to show some mercy to Cain. Cain gets mad, and you notice the last words that we read this morning, and I'm done. It says that Cain went out, verse 16, from the presence of the Lord. The Lord didn't leave Cain. Cain left the Lord. Cain ran from God. All because God wouldn't do it his way. That story speaks volumes to us today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're studying the book of Titus on Sunday nights. The book of Titus just pushes to these Cretans that we'll talk about today. They were wicked people. It pushes that if God saves you, you should live a good life and full of good works. And you'll see that phrase, good works, good works, good works, over and over and over again in the book of Titus. Because your life should be different as a believer. But in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We don't work to go to heaven. We work and do good because we are going to heaven. The only reason we're going to heaven today is because of one thing: our faith in that Jesus died for our sins. God wouldn't let this message go from me all week.